Yeah, thank you for reminding me. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, and we glorify you for this absolute wonderful time you're bringing us into and allowing us to be partakers in it as part of this fellowship. And we praise you, Father, for all the work you're doing. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody is readying themselves to help out in this great revival that's coming out. Not only that, to be able to minister to the many needy folks in the very near future. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Lord God, that we have been taught, we have put it in our hearts and our spirit, the word of God that shows it, and we are doers of the word as well. And I praise you, Father. Glory be to God that we will be bold in our walk with you, Lord, against the enemy. And I praise you and I glorify you for all the work and all the sacrifices and everything that your people have done. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's going to be great rewards for all who stick and endure in their faith to the end. And I praise you, Lord, that tonight we're going to have an awesome time with you because you're going to lead us. Your spirit will lead us every which way, Lord. And we're listening and we're learning, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you for this open heaven you've afforded us, Lord, that when we pray, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we pray and hook our faith together, that it is done. It is done. And I thank you for that, Lord. We've seen it time and time again that you're here with us and you listen to everything that we say. And I praise you, Father, that when everybody comes on this, into this fellowship on these two nights, that we're all in one accord. And thank you for it, Father. Lord, give us wisdom, discernment, new revelation into your word tonight. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We lift you up, Lord. It's all to your glory. It's all to your glory. We glorify you right now, Father. We do. We praise you, Father, because you are our God. You are the greatest God. And we praise you for it, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. You're a mighty God. You're the God of the universe. You're the God that made the universe. And I praise you, Father, for all you're doing in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? God got his eyes on us now. Praise God because we all have asked him to. Amen. Anybody got a prayer? I do. I want to pray. Father God, place it in each individual's heart listening to me tonight and whenever they listen to this, that you would place it in their heart to stay in the word, not be distracted, to stay in the word, stay in the word and keep you up on their minds and their hearts, Lord, during the day, even when they work. And I thank you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give them new revelations too. You're going to speak to them. You're going to give them dreams and visions and things of the thing that are happening now in the spirit. And I praise you for that, Father. Open our spiritual eyes to see the things that you're doing. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Joe.
Morning, everybody. I just want to get your feedback on, we prayed, I think it was last week, about this, in a place where I stay, it's mostly it's old people, but not old age, old people, and, they have a day of, testing the blood pressure and sugars and all those things. So as far as I know, mine was perfect. Doesn't matter. The Lord will be looking for me for that. Thank you, Father. But most people just wanna, it was a day of information for old people. It was just about, what did they eat? What was it? What pills was they have to drink with their food or whatever. So it's information day. So as far as I know, there's nothing sinister or anything bad about this day. So just wanna say thank you, Father, for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for clearing Joe right out of there. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Ben.
So I got two kind of requests, I guess. One of them's mostly a confession. So I was at work and I lost my temper, and I said a word that I shouldn't have, and I said something that I didn't really mean. And I've repented of this, and I want all of y'all to agree with me again in prayer that this my tongue doesn't take me out of, or my tongue doesn't, I don't lose control of my tongue anymore.
Amen. We agree and we thank you for it, Father, that he is an overcomer in every aspect of his walk. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He can
Thank you,
walk
Father.
in cleanness of thought and speech in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. All right. It's done.
And my second one, complete and total opposite of saying bad things, I want to talk about tongues, because I was talking about it yesterday with Karen. She had a hard time understanding why we speak in tongues. So very similar to Jake and his questions in tongues and whatnot. So I told her exact same thing I told Jake, and she agreed. And she says that she speaks in tongues, and she can speak in tongues, but she has a hard time letting go of being in control of what she says. I'm sure y'all understand what I'm trying to say. Like she doesn't know what she's saying when she's speaking in tongues, so she's uncomfortable with it. And so I want to pray that she's comfortable with it. She's comfortable with the Spirit speaking through her. So, Father God, I pray that Karen opens up to the Spirit, and that she not only starts speaking more in her tongue, but that she starts seeing the spiritual more, and that the Spirit gets open more in her household, and that the worldliness in her household gets taken out, and that old religious sort of spirit gets taken out of her house, and that the spirit of our sovereign Lord goes through her household, and they start speaking truth, and that they don't deny the truth, but that they walk in it. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. You explained to her what tongues, what praying in tongues was, didn't you? That it's
I
it
did.
keeps
I
keeps
did.
us keeps
I
us.
keeps us healthy and keeps us holy.
Well, it keeps us from interfering with God's praying. It's a perfect
Yeah,
prayer.
it's she said that verse, it's beyond my understanding, so I don't see the point in it. And I'm like, well, it surpasses your mind and goes straight to the spirit. That's what I said. That's what that verse is supposed to mean. I forget where it is. It's in Corinthians somewhere, but yeah, I could only teach the amount that I know.
What David has always taught about tongues, he says, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you, the most perfect prayer that can be prayed, that will be answered. And the reason we don't understand it is just so that we don't get involved in the prayer to us, to mess it up. So that's why, yeah, it's always stuck with me. So that's all right. Go ahead, Geneva. She'll come around.
So I had my ultrasound today, and I was pretty nervous in the waiting room, and I was just having to cast down fear, and I kept thinking of Psalms 119, and the Lord's really been putting that on my heart here lately, and I've just been reading that a bunch and getting it down in my spirit, and anyways, felt peace come over me, and anyways, we went in there, and they did the ultrasound, and praise the Lord. Everything is good. The baby's completely healthy, healthy heartbeat. They said my blood pressure was great. And then the thing that we, I don't know if y'all remember, was like a few outreaches ago, I asked for prayer because at my last appointment, they said that the placenta was in the way. And then that could mean, you know, like a C-section or something. And I just cast that down and I said, we said that prayer and I said, in Jesus' name, next appointment is going to be out of the way. And she said today, she goes, it's not in the way anymore. So thank you, Jesus. Lord, moved it. And it was quick too, because sometimes, you know, I've heard that it's pretty common, but sometimes they don't resolve as fast, but you know, it was just Jesus, just, you know, heard my prayer, and I just want to thank the Lord. It was the best appointment I've had. Me and Morgan walked out of there real happy, and it was pretty cool. They got to take a picture of him in 4D, so we got to see him, like, and I've never seen like a picture like that before, but they said he was in the perfect position, and so that was really sweet to see. So I just want to thank the Lord for a great appointment. Me and Morgan were so happy when we left, and you know, just for the Lord's strength and power to cast down fear and to be at peace. So I just thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. She's not going to have any more problems with this pregnancy at all. Matter of fact, the baby and her is going to be fine. It's going to be the best no pain delivery that she can have. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Hey, Geneva, what do you do?
Thank you. I'm due at the end of July.
Oh, okay.
Toward the end somewhere, like around the 21st. Yeah.
Okay.
So it could be close to my birthday. That would be pretty cool if we had the same birthday.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, my boys, the twins' birthdays, the latter part of July. Too. So praise God. That's awesome. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to speak about? Yeah, Missy. You ain't got a yellow hand, do you? Oh, there it is.
I decided I had a prayer request.
Okay.
I spoke to my mom today. And she was just telling me what's going on with her and my dad. And I just want to say a general prayer, because I want to call the things that are not as though they were. And I just... break every curse that's been spoken on my mom and dad. It's just some minor things, as far as I'm concerned, that they're going through. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that my mom and dad, neither one, are going to have any kind of surgeries or anything, no cutting on them or anything like that anymore, because they are healed by your stripes, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for they have the faith to believe you and trust in you, and pharmakia and witchcraft is defeated in their lives, and they've been delivered out of the power of darkness and translated in the kingdom of the Son of your love, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that they have a, a bold, strong faith to call the things that are not as though they were, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for their total health restoration in Jesus' name. The same as we all are expecting to, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Okay, go ahead, Benjamin.
I got two things. So I'll say what's it called when you get home? Well, I'm getting a free bed frame. So praise God for that. My mom's giving me a free bed frame, so thank the Lord. My best frame was getting pretty small. And the second thing, my mom was talking about how I'm getting older. I know, right? And she's just, it's more just like, oh, my baby's grown up kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, you know, 27. I know. And she's like, yeah, you're going to have to start checking your blood sugar. And I'm like, what? No, come on. What are you talking about? And then, you know, like, I didn't really say anything in front of her. But all jokes aside, my family does have a history of diabetes and all that. So I want to cast that down in the name of Jesus Christ, because I'm healed by what he did at the cross. And I have his life and his holiness within me. Praise God. Yeah, you know, my dad and I were just listening to Wednesday's the Bible study. Sorry, the words left my mind. And we didn't listen to the whole thing. I might have to re-listen to it again, but that was a really good one. It was really good. Just the holiness and the healthiness that we have in Christ. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, there is no generational curse when you're made a new creation, are you? You're a new creation. Praise God. That breaks everything. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? That's funny, Ben. Gotta watch yourself, boy. All right, anybody else? You love to fall dead anything nowadays, Lord of God. Nope. Not this new creation, Mom. I'm fine. Fine as wine in the summertime. All right. Anybody else? Okay, I had a good song, but I've been preempted. Let's see. Anybody got a good song they'd like to play?
How about Overcomer?
Overcoming? What is it? Who's it by?
Eddie James. Overcome.
Is it Overcome or Overcoming? Overcomer.
Overcomer. Eddie James.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. All right, here we go. Maybe. Thank you, Lord.
by the word of my testimony, overcomer. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. He saved me. He rescued me. He delivered me. And he set me free. And ever since I've been changed, I've never been the same. Hey. And I can lift my hands and say, thank you for your grace.
Overcomer, I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb
and by the word, yeah,
and by the word of my testimony.
I'm an overcomer, yeah, yeah.
I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb.
Overcomer,
more than a conqueror, I'm a winner. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
I have dominion.
I'm
healed,
and I'm free.
Just
Jesus gave me the victory.
Overcomer,
more than a conqueror, I'm a winner.
having a hard time figuring out how to shut them down. Still roaring in the background. Glory to God. Okay, good song. I like that. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about before we get into Proverbs? Proverbs 2, actually. Nope. Yeah, Joe.
Sorry, but I think a couple of years we already, somebody asked a question here on why did in Luke chapter 7 and verse 20, I think it was John the Baptist sent one of his disciples to Jesus and asked him, art thou he that cometh or look we for another? Couldn't remember what we, but just the answer when we talk about it quite a few months or years ago. Could somebody just refresh my mind? What was the answer was given?
Anybody want to make a guess?
What was the question, Joe?
In Luke chapter 7, verse 20, why did John the Baptist ask Jesus, art thou he that cometh, or look we for another? The Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. When he baptized him, Jesus, he go into his wilderness and he already choose his 12 disciples says, and healed a lot of people all this. He did already have done all that. Now he's asking, and just wonder why he asked it at that time.
Go ahead, Missy. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jerry. Jerry, you had your hand up, for you. Go ahead, Missy. Missy, you got to use the yellow hand because I can't tell when you put yours up.
I'm sorry. help me, Lord, get my thoughts back here. Well, I think part of it was probably because he might have had the same kind of concept that maybe a lot of other Jews had, that they expected him to come in this royalty, you know, thing, and that things in general just weren't happening like he thought they would. Besides that, you know, maybe things weren't happening as quickly or just, I don't know. That's just my thoughts. I think that's maybe kind of what we said before. That, you know, they expected him to become a king and rule, you know.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what Julie has to say. What did you say, Julie? What saith thee?
I think that it was Jesus wanted to confirm what was written of him and what was written of his coming and that kind of thing, because the next verse says, in that hour, he cured, past tense, he'd already done it. He had cured many of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many that were blind, he bestowed their sight. And he answered and said unto them, the two people, the two, you know, disciples that came, go and tell John the things which ye have seen, heard, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good tidings preached to them. And blessed is he who finds no occasion of stumbling in me. And then he goes on to, when he departed, he speaks to the multitudes that are still there, right? That have just been healed and witnessed all this stuff, you know, and pointing back at John is like, you know, who is this? Right? So it's written in scripture. I think he's pointing back to the John the Baptist as being the one that was sent before him. He was doing all the baptizing and that and pointing the way to his coming. Yeah, I just think the Lord was just, I think Jesus was, just wanting to show everyone this, I'm fulfilling scripture in your midst. That's how I see it.
Okay. All right, Pat, go ahead. I could use it.
I think Joe's question is related to, if I'm not mistaken, but it's kind of like, if he was the one that saw Jesus and he saw him come over the hill, he knew who he was, knew what his purpose was, and the whole process, the Spirit was leading him and guiding him, opening up his eyes to see these things. He knew that they were coming, and he, through the Spirit, recognized Jesus as who he was at that time. And then, if I'm not mistaken, when he sent his disciples, without going back and reading the context, I think he was in jail at this time, wasn't he? Do you know? Was
John?
John the Baptist? Yes. John the Baptist. He'd already been taken captive or thrown in jail, I believe. So when Jesus, you notice that he didn't answer him. He didn't say, yeah, I'm the one. He told his disciples to go back and tell John those things that were written in the scripture. See what you, just like what Julie said, see what you have heard, what Jesus has done. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. And he wasn't letting John the Baptist off of the hook, so to speak, is that John had to, he had to receive by faith. He had to accept it by faith as well. Even in the midst of where he was getting ready to die, and he knew his days were short, but it was still, he had to receive Jesus by faith. And I think that the Lord put it back in his lap to receive, walk in faith for who he was. So that's kind of the way I put that together.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Andrew. Thank you, Pat.
Well, I was wondering if it had something to do with verse 29. I'll read 28. I say unto you, among those born of women, none greater than John. Yet the lesser in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people, when they heard, the publicans justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, not having been baptized of him. And we know that that baptism was for repentance. And this could be a reminder on our part. I'm just saying, maybe the question was posed by him so that Jesus could talk about him and tell him what to answer. And then it would go down to those verses there where God is intervening with these publicans and justifying them. You see, they said, well, then we're baptized of them. This is the step that God's doing now. And of course, he already acknowledged Jesus at his baptism right there too, even in a more powerful way. He said, I'm supposed to be baptized with you and you want me to baptize you. And of course, this baptism is a needed thing for us in our day for repentance. And it's not like we have to go and dunk each other in the water to be baptized for repentance. It's something that happened on that special day we have when we got called. And we got dunked and we got a repentance. And we heard it for the first time in our lives. And that's what they're acknowledging there. They're being set up now for even a future happening when Jesus goes to prepare the place for them at the cross and resurrection. And I think it's a reminder for us too, in kind of a way, when we read the scriptures, of our repentance baptism, which had nothing to do with water except for, you know, you can, raindrops keep falling on my head, they keep falling. You know, and that's the rain coming down from heaven to give you some repentance. Because I'm free. How does the song go? Nothing's worried in me. Almost sounds scriptural. I don't know if that's how the raindrop song goes. I remember singing it in front of school. Oh, man, I did some embarrassing shit. In junior high, anyway. So praise God that he did send repentance, and he does send repentance. He's been sending repentance for the Gentiles ever since the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's very key. It's part of the pattern. It's part of the stuff that we're obliged to have to remind us of those things that were that which is to come. He out of this history, we have our history of our birth. So I think it's very important to poise that question. And I think it was poised that way by the Apostle Luke there to give reference of what's coming and what's coming for the future people. Not only the Jews, but the Gentiles also, because they still needed that Jesus. Sometimes it's really hard when you read the Gospels collate these things, man. Like you can be reading, like I was telling Ben earlier, the Sermon on the Mount, and you can very easily slip back into the law unless you figure out, well, it's those verses there where he says, think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy but to fulfill. And there's a few other verses in there that's explaining all those things that they're going for, that you don't want to get stuck back under the law. It's a blessing you're getting here. You know, we're not anxious anymore because we have it by grace and faith and love. I'm just trying to collate love and rest together. I have to be obedient to this rest. That's kind of just thoughts that are going through my head. Praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Andrew.
Interesting. I was in John chapter 1 today reading, and it talks about that where John the Baptist was, you know, baptizing, and where he saw Jesus coming to him and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Now I'm thinking now that, you know, it's like John the Baptist, you know, these were disciples of his coming to Jesus, right? And they're still, whatever, they're following John. So these disciples of his come to Jesus wanting to know if you're him. But, you know, in John chapter 1, where he's calling, where he says, where he sees them, he was making known to the Pharisees of what, you know, who he was. Because they asked him, are you the Christ? And he said, I'm not. Are you Elijah? He goes on, and are you the prophet? And he said, no. And who art thou? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said in Isaiah the prophet. And then if you go down further, it just says, I'm sorry, it's in verse like 20 and 21 there. He's John baptized with water. And then he goes on and said that, you know, then he talks about Jesus, right? And he sees Jesus come and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sins of the whole world. And he said that, and I knew him not, but that he should be manifest to Israel. And that's why he came baptizing. And he said, he bear witness that he beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. He didn't know Jesus as Jesus. I didn't know him, right? He didn't recognize him. But he that sent me, you know, to baptize, he said unto me, upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, the same is he that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and bore witness that this is the Son of God. So I'm thinking that, you know, the disciples, the next line says, again on the morrow, John was standing and two of his disciples. And those disciples are the first ones that Jesus called to follow him. So the disciples following John, eventually, I believe, they all left to follow the Lord. You know, that had to happen. You know, because he's telling the Pharisees who he was, but now the multitudes need to know, and they need to know from him who he is, not from John the Baptist. So I think the disciples are thinking, well, are you who you say you are? Because now John's in prison, right? Like Pat, you know, commented and, you know, brought that, like, because he's been, who are we supposed to follow now? So I just think it was just kind of a confirmation that Jesus wanted people to know without saying, yeah, I'm him. Like, what do you see? What do you hear?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's how I was reading that.
Yeah. When you see me do these miracles, when you see all this stuff that's been going on, what do you think? Go ahead, Andrew. Thank you, Julie.
You know, when Julie was talking, for some reason, there's that guy in the book of Acts, too. He was a disciple of John, and then he was actually being capable of refuting against the Pharisees and the Sadducees there. And the apostles, the disciples, had to take him aside in the book of Acts, and they gave him better counsel. And then he was even better at refuting the law people. And I was just wondering if that could collate with that question too. Because what's happening here is he was stuck for a long time, all the way into the book of Acts there, when the Gentiles were starting to receive Christ. And of course, he had to be told more correctly of the gospel, I would assume, that it not to be a disciple of John, but to be a disciple of Christ. So there's a real close thing there with this guy in the book of Acts. So I kind of wonder what happened there. You know, did this guy, was he a Christian or was he a disciple of Jesus, of John the Baptist? You know, but they had to tell him more clearly the truth of the matter. I forget the words they used there in the book of Acts. And he was granted repentance right there. And I would think they would have had to take him maybe and baptize him again. And hopefully he'd get filled with the Holy Spirit being around the Christians in that day. Anyways, it's just...
Let me ask this question. When did the disciples come to know that Jesus was who he was? When did they come to know that?
That's true too, because, you know, there was still a little bit of confusion there in the book of Acts.
Absolutely.
There was Peter there where he had a little bit of a dissimulation there. And, yeah, so we can relate.
Absolutely.
I guess we can write some of those things now.
When did they finally realize it? Y'all know we've been talking about it. Yeah, Missy.
Well, wasn't it when I forget how all this goes, but and I didn't look it up, but because there's a couple places I think it says this, but Jesus asked them, well, who do they say I am, you know? And they said, you know, a prophet or whatever, and all this. And then he says, well, who do you say I am? And Peter's the one that said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, and then Jesus said, well, upon this rock, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to interrupt you right there, if you don't mind. If Peter really believed that, why did he go fishing after Jesus was crucified? Huh?
Because he didn't completely understand everything. Because it wasn't.
When did they realize who Christ was in their job? Not until.
And their
job. What?
You said, their job?
I said, they didn't realize who Jesus really was in their job after Jesus left. They didn't know who they were. Okay, Ben. You'll know when Ben comes and tells the truth.
Would it be when they received the Holy Spirit?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Another pie in the face here. That is, Paul spoke about it in the book of Philippians, that he was perfect, but waiting for his perfection.
Yeah. They really didn't know anything about what they were to do until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul came along and told them who they were in Christ and what their job was.
Hmm.
Is that I didn't right? mean it when I said pie in the face.
Okay.
So, okay. So, we're perfected and we go on to perfection because of the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. Because of Jesus.
Amen.
We gotta have some fruit in our soul. And the same thing, the apostles had to get some fruit in their soul too, or Peter wouldn't have made that disinformation. So we can relate to some of these things ourselves. Even though we don't want to, we want to be correct with the Lord, you know. Sometimes a person might even cry about it a lot, you know, like, what did I do? No. Get that. We don't do that part. We're perfect. Leave me alone. Praise God. Glory to God.
Well, that's exactly right. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit that told them, you know, here's your job. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to lead you out here and you're going to go out here and do all this stuff. But they really didn't understand anything until Paul came along and told them who they were in Christ. You got to bear fruit 30, 60 of 100 fold. You got to do that, da, 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 da. And Paul told us who we are. Now, here's another question that begs to be asked. And that is, do you believe that people will understand Christ coming back shortly? Does anybody want to tackle that? How is Christ, let me put it this way, how is Christ coming back? I see three hands up. Go ahead, Julie.
One thing that was coming to me as you were talking, Michael, is that how when Jesus and I don't remember which gospel it is, but he said, you know, after he ascended, you know, that when he sent them out, the Great Commission, and he worked with them. They didn't have everything then, but he worked with them and teaching them as they went along. And then, you know, it's like, it's the same thing with us. We all get a revelation of, of the Lord, as we grow and progress, we get more and more revelation of who he is, and we get more of a revelation of who we are.
Right.
As we grow and mature and spend time in the Word.
Well, they couldn't understand a thing until the Holy Spirit, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Once they were filled with the Holy Spirit and Paul came along and started teaching them, then they understood, you know, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And they couldn't understand. You know, what did Jesus tell them before he left? He said, I'd love to sit down here and tell you everything, but you ain't got the brains enough to figure out what's going to happen, you know, or the spirit yet. I don't mean brains. I mean the spirit.
You're not able to receive yet.
Yeah.
That the Holy Spirit will reveal all things to you. He will come and he'll be your teacher.
Amen.
And to answer your question about will they know, you know, about his coming, how they're coming? Well, it's, where is it written? It said you, I'm coming at a time that you do not know. Or I'm coming in a way you do not know, however that scripture's worded. But yeah, he's like, I'm coming back, but I'm coming in a way that you don't know. And a lot of them think it's the pre-trib and, you know, that he's just coming in the,
come
right
back,
at the
I
end,
gotta,
you know.
Get out of here before tribulation hit. Yeah, I'm gonna get out of here, Lord of God.
I don't know, it's only by the grace. I think it's only the grace of God that people are going to get the revelation how he's coming. Because right now, I don't think they know.
Okay, Andrew, look at it. Boy, they got the books, they got the word out and they're ready. Go ahead, Andrew. This is awesome.
Well, I didn't make my notes properly here, but it's in chapter 3.
Philippians
3 of 3 and 10. And there's this word, it's a hyphenated word. It's called out resurrection from the dead. So that's the word right there that's going to happen to the people that manifest Christ very much so in that time. I wish I could remember what it means though. But you know, the whole verse does have something really nice to say about it. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain unto the out resurrection of the dead. And of course, then he goes on this out resurrection from the dead. I think that's when a super manifestation of Christ is functioning in the Christian's life. You know? I think that's when God moves through the person to have those qualities mentioned in that 10th verse, you know, and it happens to us when we get our answer from God if it's his word, then it has to be his deed. And that's as far as I can take it. In every good word and work or word and deed, you know, it says that a few times. It's a word and work is a discipleship. In every good word and work, when we function in that, that's the discipleship. And it's the manifestation of the Christ life in us. For some, you know, you hear the stories of people being martyred and stuff, and that was at that point they had their out resurrection, because I don't think they felt the pain when they died. I think the Lord just took them, and the same with Polycarp, you know, he had that wonderful manifestation in the center of the audience there. And of course, he knew John, and John had it too when they tried to boil him in oil, and it didn't work. So that some would classify that as a greater one, but both had its reason for God to perform it. It's not us; it's doing it. It's Him. You know, It's always him. We want to always be in that place of word and deed. Anyway, that's what I think.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Go ahead. Go ahead. You got something else? Go ahead, Missy.
What was your question again? Exactly. How's he coming again? Well, he's coming in us. He's coming in the flesh again in us.
He's coming in us, right. How's that going to work?
From glory to glory. You're a little there, a little.
Yeah.
Through
yeah.
the suffering.
He's coming in the man, child, and the bride. He's coming in the man, child.
Yes, in the man.
And right. When the man-child ministry comes here, are they going? Is everybody going to accept it? Or is it going to be just like Jesus?
History's going
to. Yeah. They're going to want to kill him. But they can't. Amen. I can see. I can tell very readily that a lot of people don't really understand the man-child ministry. They don't understand actually what the bride is a lot of times. Of course, we know the apostates don't. They think everybody that's in the church is in the bride. And it's the ones that have died to self that's going to be in the bride. But the man-child ministry is to bring the gospel to the world and judgment to the world. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, me and Ben been bouncing off some things with each other here, and it'll be just the same way as Jesus was. You know, they did like his miracles. They just didn't like his words. You know, they said, oh, no, we like your miracles. Do your miracles. I forget where the verse is, but we don't like what you're speaking. You're not speaking that, you know. And I think that's what they're going to hate the most is this speaking. Is this speaking of this fruit of Christ. And they're going to be jealous.
You will know them by their fruit.
They'll be jealous because they were jealous. Even Pontius Pilate discerned they were jealous of Jesus because he spoke and did things, you know, and of course, again, you know, yes, it is Jesus, but it's the Father doing it through him. You know, Jesus did say, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. And Peter said the same thing in 1 Peter 4:11. And I only do what the Father tells me to do. And that 4:11 of 1 Peter is very important too, because, we're only supposed to speak as of the oracles of God, and we're only supposed to minister as to God's strength. So I think it says strength. I'd have to look it up again. And that ministry is it is a ministry of reconciliation, because you need that ministry of God's strength. You know, that's I think that's his word and his name, you know, in 4:11 there, because it's the name would be the strength and the ministry, but the word is still the oracle, and that's what we need. That's what we live in. That's the word is paramount. You know, he puts his word above his name. And the oracle is there. The oracle is his word, and the name is the ministry of his strength, you know. And Jesus did these things by the power of his Father. He spoke his word, and he ministered. We all have a ministry, you know, a ministry of reconciliation. All things are of God, who had, in 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ our Lord and given to us a ministry of reconciliation. And that reconciliation is quite a bit. It's a sin exchange, sin for righteousness, but there is an exchange there of a life for a life. It's a cross, right? But I'm just speaking off the cuff here, and we have to, that oracle is God the Father, our Father's word. And we have to humble ourselves to that in such a manner that we know what it says in the word of God, of it being God's powerful word, God's creative word. This is what birthed you. This is what gave you your life. And it's very much needed, because it's a little scary too, because we know what it says on the last page of the Bible, and we reverence this word. We need to humble ourselves to it. We need to be bold and humble at the same time. You know, we've had good example of this in some of the martyrs, and in even recent times, we have some brethren there that have suffered, and you know, they just stood there and they waited for whatever the Lord was going to do with them. And some of them, well, we know what happened there. But anyways, we want to serve God in the capacity of as it comes towards us, as it happens in that word and deed. And that's what we need to do. We need to be in that humble state. And Jesus was very humble to go to his cross. We have to emulate that. We want that. It's a short time. It's a short time left. And the outcome for us is wonderful. What is in store for this agape that we're supposed to have for the Lord. And it's a special thing. It's a wonderful thing to let the Lord and do through us, where we get excited when he does it. Yes. You know, I don't know, some people may have had some childhood memory where, you know, dad comes home from work, or dad went on a trip for his work and he hasn't been home for a while, and you're just a young person, and he comes home and you run to the door and you embrace him and you're excited. Well, if God is part of our sanctuary where we live in, and we're just the lamb here in the same sanctuary, and he's gonna walk in us, you know, like if you look up that word walk in your concordance, there's that verse in 2 Corinthians 6:16. He's gonna walk in you, the Father. And you know, if he's going to go and walk in you, then he's going to have to do some fixing up of you first. So that's the best way I can put it. Praise and glory to God. That's a sanctuary, and that's the sanctuary that is that future sanctuary that's written in 21:22 of Revelation, which is God. There's no sanctuary there, but the sanctuary was described as the God and man. Why didn't he say Christ? because it's the lamb, because he separates the lambs from the goats. That's what he does. And I can't put it any other way, because I would be speaking damage to myself if I was to say that these people aren't lambs that are supposed to be lambs, because we have to be corrected just like anyone else has to. So that's a safe way of saying it. Praise and glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. So, y'all still, does anybody believe that they will accept the man-child ministry? Most of Christianity. I'm talking about denominations. And you know why? Why would they not? When you see miracles and all kinds of great, mighty things happening, and then still reject him just like they did Jesus. Go ahead, Julie.
I remember David sharing in his studies how, you know, in the timing of things, you know, the Saul ministry has to be, you know, removed first so that the people will follow the man child out. Because right now they're in their denominations. They're happy where they are. They think they have everything. They haven't been taught the true gospel yet, and they need to hear it. And I think, like, the signs and wonders will confirm a lot of those things. And those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, those are the ones that will. They'll be the believers. You know, not everyone, you know, as we know, not everyone who says they're a Christian are a Christian, you know, it's, but when you get tried and you get, start getting the word and you get the understanding. But yeah, I think initially, I think a lot of people are going to be going, they're going to be at a loss, you know, because of the judgments and all the things going to happen, and they're not prepared. You know, and it's going to be God's grace that turns them and gives them ears to hear. And we know that it's his grace. So I don't think, like you said, initially, I don't think most people, they're clueless about how he's coming. So they're not going to recognize. They're going to be, I don't know how it's going to look really, you know, but you know, the Saul ministries have to be put out of the way first, you know, they'll be exposed and, you know, judged and that kind of thing. And thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty in that.
Amen. Well, as it says, in Ecclesiastes 1:9, the things that were before, and it goes on and on and on. It shows us what's going to happen, but they don't have the wherewithal to go back and look and see. And so if it doesn't happen according to their religion, with Jesus coming back and snatching them out of there, out of before the tribulation comes. That's why the Lord says there's going to be an earthquake before the man-child anointing, and then after the man-child anointing. Both. Then they're going to be looking to the preacher. Okay, now what? Go ahead, Andrew. And I'll leave it at that.
If you say it's like Ecclesiastes 1:9, then I would have to believe that if you look in the Gospels, which I was told was a representation of the first 3.5 years, you have the Tower of Shalom falling on people, and you have the blood that Herod mixed with their sacrifice. So what will these things be in art in that day when they happen? You know, because some people they know their salvation, but they might just not have the ability or the understanding, and they won't make it unless God takes them somehow. Some of those people with the tower fell on, he could have took them out of pure mercy and pity for them. in the old covenant or in their understanding that they have. So I don't know if that's applicable also. So, and how this blood mixing is, I don't know how that quite works either, except that there are people being martyred and they still are martyring them. And some of the other countries anyway. There was Columbine, the high school, mm-hmm. some young girl there, and she was 17. She would have been probably married and had children by now. How do you know when God starts to collect his gems off of this planet, that he's not doing this out of great mercy for some people? Even the people who had miscarriages and pregnancies and stuff, that he's taking them. This is God we're talking about. You know, he can take a little child and bring him to heaven too when we all go to heaven. He can take a child of even four or three too, as soon as they understand. I kind of imagine, you get a 2-year-old there or someone just beginning to talk, can they be saved? Well, is it up to us or is it up to God? Anyways, if God can do anything, right? Praise
Absolutely.
God.
Yes, he can. And I'm glad you brought that up, because he's already told us that his grace is going to be multiplied during this time ahead. And man, here's going to be people saved that you wouldn't believe that was going to be saved and brought into the kingdom. You're going to see people up in heaven that you say, ain't no way, Lord, how'd this happen? Well, it's through his grace. And somebody praying for him, probably. I'll tell you what, I'm amazed at his grace every day in my life. It says my internet connection is unstable. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. You get out of here in the name of Jesus. Y'all can hear me okay, can't you? Okay. All right. Anybody else on this man child ministry? Y'all can see the jealousy, can't you? From the apostate religions out there. When the man child comes on and the bride comes on and they're out there doing these miracles and they're seeing this stuff happening on the streets. I said, I thought you said that God doesn't heal anymore. I just saw these guys out there and this lady out there. Man, they were raising the dead out of all these people. Raising the dead and healing the sick and doing all this stuff. What is this? You don't think they're going to come against the man-child ministry? Oh, yeah. It's upsetting their apple cart. It's going to upset their apple cart. But God's doing it for a reason, to get his elect out of those kind of churches and bring them into the truth of the gospel. And that's why we need to know the truth of the gospel. And we do. We all of us do. We've been taught, hopefully, and you've been reading and studying the Word of God. I know that by listening to y'all. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else on this particular subject? Yeah, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into those things. How many of you still getting revelations out of the Word of God every day? Every day. Yeah. All right. Anybody else got a question? Joe, you come up with some James Dandies. I'm telling you. That's a good one. Anybody else? Uh-oh, here comes another one. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes, this is another one. I would just remember now, while I was reading it, remember my original question was, why did Jesus ask Jesus? But I was reading what Julie said earlier, when he says, John chapter 1, verse 29, he says, Behold, When Jesus coming, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, but take away the sin of the world." That's a massive statement. That's changing it from sacrificing of animals to Jesus taking away the sin of the world. But two verses later, he says, "I knew him not." In other words, he just make that big statement when he says, "I know you not." But then afterwards, then another two verses later, he says, "I knew him not," he said again, "but he that sent me to baptize in water, he said unto me, upon whosoever thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him." The same as he that baptized by the Holy Spirit. After he made that big statement, "Well, the Lamb of God that take the sin of the world," he said twice, "I knew him not." That's big. That's, in other words, he make a statement, but that statement must be from God the Father to tell him this is, the Lamb that take him away. He doesn't know it yet, but that's why I'm asking the question is, are you the one? The Lord just opened it up for me. So I'm understanding that. That's a big thing for me. Thank you.
I think I understand it. Was he asking a question? No, making a statement. Okay. All right. When John said, you know, John clarified that in 34, didn't he? Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Joe. Anybody else got a little question? I like these kind of little rounds we have. Yeah. Go ahead, Joe. You got something?
That's it for tonight. Thanks.
Okay. All right. You get up here in Tennessee, you'll learn this Tennessee language. I'm getting a whole lot better, Joe. I can understand 99% of what you say most of the time. The rest of the time is 70. Thank God. Praise God. Anybody else got a question about the Word of God that you'd like to bring up before we get into Proverbs? I like these kind of sessions. Impromptu. Brings out the thinking in us, doesn't it? I have a question, and it's just one that just popped in my head. Can somebody explain to me how important the man-child ministry is? Yeah, Ben.
Can I answer that with another question?
That's not an answer. That's a question.
Can I? Well, come on.
Oh, yes, of course you can.
How important was Moses to the Israelites when they were enslaved to Egypt? How important was every man child in each generation? The Lord used them to save them from the subjugation of the beast of the time. How important is it to save someone? Yeah. That's how important it is.
We read the example. Yeah. We read the example of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo Persia, Greece, and even Rome. Rome changed it, but now there is a semblance of an iron and clay that's coming, and we know what happens in Daniel about that. The rock that comes out of the side of the mountain in the heavens. And why didn't he aim for the head? He hit the feet first, right? And that's why we need a man-child. And agreement with God. When Jesus was around and the apostles and all those fivefold ministries, the people agreed with them. That's the way I'll put it. That's why we need a man-child ministry, because we need a new fivefold ministry. We need those people on the Mount of Transfiguration. The formulation of those people. And there's two witnesses and who just is a witness anyway? So, you know, like there's a 30-fold, 60 to 59 different star glories there. So, I don't know. Maybe there are different moon glories too, because, the moon moves through the sky, and sometimes there's no moon and sometimes there's a full moon. And I don't know, quarter moon is 60 to 70 fold, 70 to 80, 80 to 90. It's all moon glory. Stars in size, and I think you might have different moon glories too. I'm not saying that's scriptural, but there's sometimes there's a big moon, and sometimes there's no moon, and sometimes there's just stars. Anyways, who are the sun, moon, and stars, and why is the sun darkened and the moon darkened, and who are those stars that are caught in the tail of the dragon? And we have we know that there's four different lands in the parable of the sower, and two of those lands actually know up there the covenant and how they're saved, but they're not bearing fruit. But they know of their salvation. There's a lot of people who know about salvation. So
this image of the beast needs to be finally destroyed. Not only just like around in the world, but the beast or Babylon that is within us. That's what the man-child's going to do. He's going to teach us how to conquer that. Same way Moses taught the people of Israel to follow God. Same way Daniel fought the Philistines. The same way, I'm sure people have better examples than I do of man-child in the past, but our man-child is going to do that final overcoming of Babylon within us. That image of the beast that's trying to overcome us, he's going to teach us to overcome it finally.
Well, that's the woman in chapter 12, but he's starting with us a little early, I think. Isn't he? Like, yeah, there is a woman that goes into that, but we are getting some information that the woman's supposed to have. And because we have this information, to whatever extent we have it, we're ready to be of assistance through God to do that oracle and ministry. Of that God has for us. That's the way I have to say it. Praise okay. God.
Praise God. Thank you. Man, you amaze me at the rate of your maturity is coming out.
I didn't catch that. I think you cut out for a second, Michael. What did you say?
Well, that might have been God doing that too, because I was
all right.
I was complimenting you.
Oh, on your maturity. Glory to God.
Amen.
Right. Thank you very much.
Go ahead, Judy. I don't want you to get the big head now. You understand,
Michael?
You
can you please read?
Go ahead.
He's got a humble head. He's no big head.
I know.
Can you repeat your question, please?
Which one? I think it was,
What was the question you asked about the man child?
Do you think that the man child ministry is going to be accepted? I guess is basically what I was going for. During the time.
That was something else about the
what it was. It probably was. Missy, what was it?
Missy knows.
I think you said something like, why is the man-child ministry so important?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Why is the man-child ministry important?
Well, I can't really answer that. You know, it's important because it's Jesus coming back. You know, to restore and to bring, you know, to fulfill every prophecy, everything written in the word has to be fulfilled in the last 7 years. But, part of what was coming to my mind when we were talking is, you know, that when Ben was saying about the different prophets and stuff, you know, were they respected? Were they, you know, how were they appreciated or how he worded that? Is no, but you know, what we're going to have at the end times, they didn't have, and they didn't have it. Even when Jesus walked, because he's the only one that had it, but there's going to be the outpouring of the latter rain. And people are going to have and receive things much quicker and grow much quicker too.
Yeah.
So it's all going to be the power of God, power of his spirit.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
And like I said earlier, that God's grace is going to be multiplied exponentially. And it's going to, you know, like I said, there could be people coming to Christ all over. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind to answer your question was, well, if the man child, if it weren't for the man child ministry, a lot of people would go to hell. So the Lord might as well come back now because of the whole pre-trib concept, because if he does, then there's still a lot of people that are going to go to hell. But the reason that that's kind of a facetious kind of way answering, but the thing of it is the man, when the man child comes, he's going to teach the people what they didn't know, the real gospel, and prepare them for in the middle of the tribulation to not take the mark of the beast. You know, not to succumb to the beast, kind of similar to what I think Ben was saying earlier, not to be deceived, you know, and because we know that if you do take the mark of the beast, that's you're eternally lost, you know. But, you know, to grow them up quickly so that they know that they can, believe the Lord for everything that they need. And, he's their healer, provider, protector, blah, blah, blah. He's their savior and everything. And therefore they don't, you know, they don't need the mark. They will realize they don't need to take the mark of the beast. You know, they won't want to. They'll understand much more.
I mean,
they'll overcome. It'll make them overcomers.
Yeah, so what you're saying is this, is that the man-child ministry is going to be here in order to get the true gospel out by signs and wonders, right? Throwing...
Right.
God's, God's camera eye right on him because of the signs and wonders. And they're going to say, well, this guy's got to know something. My goodness, all them people he just healed, he's going to be just like Jesus. He had compassion and he healed them all. And they go, oh my, let's listen to him because he knows something. I mean, he knows a whole lot more than what I've been hearing in my church. And they're going to start listening. They're going to come out of that apostate religion because of it. Go ahead, Pat. And not only that, it's because the Holy Spirit anointing is on him too. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I was going to say that, a couple things that kind of came to my mind is number one, that when Jesus came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. So there is going to be the Spirit of the Lord upon these people in a stronger anointing. But I think the thing I was thinking of is because every man child up to this point And to a certain degree, even Jesus was a sign or a template for the work that he is doing here in these last days of the final harvest. Because the man child not only, the man child will come as a body, in these last days, replicating the life of Jesus in all his aspects, all his, all the various aspects of Jesus will be, displayed or revealed in the man-child body. And so, so it is a larger, thing that the Lord is, going to accomplish. And there's another aspect of it, that the man-child will also be of a certain maturity that they will take up another aspect of the Lord's ministry in that day, because there's going to be the aspect of judgment connected to it as well. As a matter of fact, even in referred to even in that verse in Luke when he's speaking about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, etc., goes all the way through to proclaim the Lord's acceptable year. And of course he ended there, but in Isaiah it continues on and refers to vengeance or judgment. And there's going to be an aspect of that at the same time in this latter day, a revealing of the man child. So I'll just end there. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Amen. I agree. Go ahead, Andrew. Thank you, Pat.
Yeah, Pat, well, you know, where it says the day of vengeance, he's going to know when that day of vengeance is, too, this man-child. Because he's going to know when he became a man-child, I guess. And anyways, I was just going to bring up Isaiah 63. This man-child is going to have to deal with these people. Who is this that cometh from Edom? Edom is a land. And and there's four different lands in the parable of the sower. They got to come out of this Edomite land and get into the right land. This is the warning here for them right here. And with dyed garments from Bozrah, which is, I think, the sheep coat or the sheep fold. And this that is glorious in his apparel. I believe that his is kind of a very important word there. Maybe it's not totally all God, but something interfering with a self-life there, maybe marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I have trod them in mine anger. But, you know, in order to get to that third verse, we're kind of hoping that this man-child's going to get these Edomites to come into the good land, so the fourth land, to change their mind from where they are to something else, to be cleansed by God. Only God can do that. But in the very end here, in verse number 18, it says, thy holy present, thy holy people possess thee but for a little while. It kind of makes me wonder if that's the first from the cross and resurrection, even from the birth. There was a dawn of grace there, but then there's the cross, and then there's the presence up to maybe the year 312, when it turned from a called Christianity to a legislated Christianity. But even though there was something that happened around that time, the empire gave a great freedom to the people to be freedom for Christianity. I guess the Lord may have heard the prayers of the saints for freedom, and if it's thy holy people possessed it but for a little while, our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. And again, that sanctuary is an important place. It's supposed to be within you, and it has to do with the Father and the Lamb, and he's going to walk in you, the Father. Check it out in 2 Corinthians 2 and 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. We are become as they over whom thou never bearest rule, as they that were not called by thy name. And of course, we are called by his name. And of course, the Lord is going to send his man-child ministry to fix this up, to fix these, some of these people even perhaps, as we have studied and people have received revelations on here. So there's a lot to it here. And like you said, Todd, the man-child is going to finish those verses. Amen. Let Jesus stop that. Right? As sure as it says it in 2 Thessalonians, small s, 2 and 8. We don't want a strong delusion. It's not evolution, by the way, people. That's a strong delusion sent by God, prophesied by the Apostle Peter 1,800 years before it happened. In 2 Peter 3 and 5, a strong delusion of evolution. Right there. This they willfully forget, that the waters form the land. I can't remember exactly how it says. And, you know, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11, God sends the working of error so that they should believe the devil, the lying man. And that happened. And I know Charles Darwin came around 165 years ago, but he was only the spokesman for it. And, you know, there was a big war, I seem to remember, throughout all of Europe, from Portugal to Moscow by Napoleon. And there was one here in North America between us and you guys, and we both think we won the War of 1812. That's what they teach in our school. We won that war, and you guys have that. You won that war, so we'll just keep it that way because we're buddies now. But we want a different way. We want a kingdom now. Seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord, so they won't be any war like that, right? But I don't think it's really going to happen the way people think, because we got a kingdom, and we got righteousness from our Lord, and we live by that righteousness. And in his word is how we live. I don't ask me how that happens either, because it's supposed to happen. Because his word is so powerful, it created a universe. And so it's not going to stop from this little old person here, but it can't be created into a kingdom. It can't be created here when it's all around us. Praise and glory to God. You know, if this little light of mine is, I'm going to let it shine, then who shines you? Who's going to make, you know, God, he didn't use the sun and moon to make the heavens when he first started. It came out of him. That's what it says in Genesis. He was the light so that he could see what he was doing. Then on the third day, he made everything. So he made himself shine. And you know what? That same shining one is in that sanctuary. And he walks in us. Wow, there's the light right there. Praise God.
What's interesting to note is this about the man-child ministry. Most Christianity does not even know what the man-child ministry is. They do not know. And therefore, because they don't know, a lot of them are going to reject it to their horror. And it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be real good. But for those who embrace it, that see the miracles, that see the truth, that the Lord opens up their mind's eye to see the truth, it's going to be wonderful for them. It may be hell, you know, all around them, but they're going to be. I got another question here. Y'all listen to David's broadcast. I don't know if he said it today, but he has before, but how is it that the man child and the bride are going to know what to do? Let's start with the man child. The man child, he goes to the throne to get that anointing. When he gets that anointing, that's that anointing of wisdom, the Solomon's wisdom that's going to come upon him. Hello? Something happened. I heard some feedback. but anyway, that's how he's going to know. Kind of interrupted me. I didn't. But anyway, that's how he's going to know. He's going to know exactly. It's going to be like a bunch of ants down here. Each one of them going to know what to do, where to go, and how to do it. And the Holy Spirit's going to be leading them. And they're going to get their instructions right straight from the throne of God. And remember what Jesus said? What did Jesus say? Y'all don't do nothing unless I ask my Father. That's where it's going to be with the man child. He's going to know exactly what to do. And the bride, by the way, is going to know. Because the man child is going to tell him. And God. It's not going to be. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, I remember reading that we're supposed to imitate our Father and to walk in Him. But you know what? If we're going to have fellowship and you're sitting in the Father's throne now, you're all sitting down. So you're in the Father's throne and you're going to imitate Him. So what are you going to go for? Righteousness or iniquity? Light, communion with light or darkness? You know who shined in the beginning before He made the sun, moon, and stars. He's the sanctuary that's supposed to live in. I just got that now, so I don't know why I got it now. So in Genesis, there's a verse there, God turned himself on. He turned the switch on. You know? I don't know if he had no hardware, but he turned it on so that he can make the universe. And that sanctuary is the Father in you. And you know that what agreement has God's sanctuary with idols? This is my right hand. This is my right hand and this is my left hand. Okay. It might look reversed to you. Okay. But it's on the right hand side. Who's on the right hand? And who else is there? He made you to be seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
That's a creation. That's creation before the 10th verse, when you were created. And he written, when you know, he you were raised with him. You were made alive with Christ Jesus. You know, by grace have you been, it's in brackets too. By grace have you been saved. So it's important, okay? And of course, what portion at believer, that's my right hand, with unbeliever, and you know, unbelief is a sin. It says so somewhere in Revelation chapter 21. And you know, you're supposed to, pardon me, but I'll do a little bit of my southern accent. Reckon yourself dead to sin, indeed. God. So, you know, we've got a fellowship in common with communion. We've got a Concorde. You know, it's not British Airways or Air France. They ended the Concorde. But we've got the Concorde with Christ, not with Belier. And I was told Belier is, you know, those guys who thought they were cute, Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's son, who snuck the girls into the Holy of Holies. And that's not right. And he had to get a boy to do their job. And they were slacking off. Hophni and Phinehas and this 8-year-old boy, Samuel, is doing the right thing. And of course, he saw some sad stuff there. The high priest go, and Hophni and Phinehas too. Who took over after that, you know? And so here, Concord with Christ or Belier. Belier's the curse. It's anathema. And you know, that's a different gospel. So don't speak a different gospel. Because there is no different gospel than the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So we gotta depend on the Lord to remind us what to say. And you know, the agreement one, and he's walking in you. He's your salvation, but he's your sanctuary. You're part of the sanctuary, and the Lamb is the sanctuary, and you're that Lamb that's in that verse there in Revelation 21. I think it's verse 22. That's why he said Lamb, because it's only one body, one spirit, you know, one hope of your calling. It's seven ones, one God and Father of us all, who's over all, in all, and through all. So speak the heart, speak the mind, speak the soul that you have, and speak the strength that you have. And if you want to get strengthened, then little child, be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful grace, you know, because in 7:1 of 2 Corinthians, we have these exceedingly great and precious promises. As beloved children, to escape the flesh and the spirit. To be cleansed from the flesh and the spirit by grace. And like Michael said earlier, he's going to pour out an additional amount of grace for us. Right? Because we need more, and he knows we need more, and he's going to do it. Because he's God, and he said he would, and he promised us. And at whatever capacity he gives you, that's how you offer. And it's a bold thing, but it's also a humble thing. And it's a little scary now to think of that. A scary reverence towards God, to love him, to obey him. It's a lot to take in, you know. He has to do it so that we could be able to take it in. And he has to even make us ready to take it in. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be an interesting time. It really is. It's going to be an interesting time. It's going to be one of a lot of devastation, but a lot of happiness as well in the midst of it, because of the people that are going to be saved and healed and delivered and all of these things. And it's also going to bring in a lot of our family members because of all of this shaking going on. And praise God. Go ahead, Missy. Wake up, Missy.
I was talking to my mom earlier. What? I was talking to my mom earlier today, and I was talking to her, you know, about the judgments, but then the revival, you know, and all that. And it's like, I never read this book, but most people know this quote. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And it's Tale of Two Cities. And I couldn't think of it. I had to go look it up. Merle knew what it was. But anyway, and I want to read this one quote out of it, because it just so like resonates with what's going on right now. It's not real long. Sorry. Okay, it goes. This is the very beginning of the book. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on it being received for good or for evil, in the superlative degree of comparison only. Sound like today?
Yeah, it does.
That had to have been the Lord that popped that into my head, because it was just, I just never, that's not me. I never read the book. I hadn't even thought about that in a long time. So it's just, wow. It's like, you know, history repeats, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, everybody knows that we're right there at the precipice of this thing happening. And how important it is for us to be in the Word as much as possible and seeking God, what He wants you to do, where He wants you to be. That's imperative. And we could be just within days of this thing happening. So I'll just leave it at that. Father God, I just praise you and I glorify you for the words that you've given us tonight, this wonderful way that you've brought us into the end time ministry of the man child and the bride, and how the things that you brought out tonight were from you, I believe. And I thank you, Father, for opening up our understanding a little bit more into what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and how your man child, how important your man child ministry is. Just as important as when Jesus came. Just as important as when all the rest of the old prophets and things came in on the scene, if not more so. We're going to have 144,000 of these man-child ministries, I believe. And then ever how many brides are going to be in the bride ministry. And Lord, I know that you've got it all worked out. How are you going to coordinate all of this? Praise God, it's going to be up to you and your angels and your Holy Spirit to get things to where we can understand our jobs. And I know that you're going to set that in our hearts as people get brought up to the throne and all of these great things that are going to happen and all the work that has to be done in order to bring about this great revival. You've already got it worked out for us, and all we got to do is just understand and listen to you. And once we listen to you and understand what it is, you're going to place it in our mind. We're going to have it in our memory bank. And when we get through one phase of that ministry, there'll be something else that pops up, and we'll just go right to doing it. I know that sounds real simple, but I believe that's the way you want it. It's to be a 1-2-3 step type of deal to where we just listen to you and you just tell us what to do. And that's why, Lord, it's real important that we all have this personal relationship with you to where we can hear your voice and see in the spirit the things that you want us to see, be able to, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for opening up the spiritual eyes of everybody here that really wants it, to be able to see in the spiritual realm and to hear your voice. And I praise you for doing that, Lord, because we're going to need it. And I thank you for doing that, Father God. And not only doing it that way, Lord, but giving us that understanding and discernment and wisdom to carry out the instructions that you give us. And I thank you for that, Father. Glory be to God. What a wonderful time, Lord, and what a devastating time as well. I thank you for your protection upon your man child and your bride ministries and everything associated with it. I thank you for all the provisions that's already been made. And I praise you for that, Lord. And I thank you for the organization of yours that has already got it all worked out for us. And all we have to do is just do what you say. Thank you, Lord, for placing that in all our hearts. Father, I ask and I pray that you give everybody a good night's sleep tonight and let it be an awesome time of dreams and visions similar to the one that you've given us at times. And I praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, protect us, provide for us, and give us discernment and wisdom that's sorely needed, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, good night, all. Looks like we're running out of time, y'all. Sorry, I wasn't keeping real good close time at looking at it.